You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 6th of May 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, it's slow news day once again for the third day this week, so we will talk today a little bit, I think, about why we talk about Jews, something that appears to mystify the civic nationalists. But before I get into that, I just like to point out that if people want to look for the studies that I was talking about yesterday, particularly about mixed race relationships and the violence that occurs, a really good site for that is Jared Taylor's American Renaissance. It's full of racial information, statistics, studies that you'll have difficulty finding using Google search engine, for instance. But if you look over there at that site, that's a particularly good one for information on that sort of thing. So let's get into why we talk about the Jews. If the problems that we see around us are caused by ourselves, then why do we talk about the Jews? Well, the problems around us are caused by ourselves because we have given people like the Jews civil rights, we've given them an influence, and with that influence, they have encouraged these problems. Now, the reason for that is because our interests are different to other group interests. And if you have a multiculturalism, if you have diversity, if you have different groups living in one territory, they are all going to be doing what is best for their particular group. And what is best for a group like the Jews is not what's best for a group like the ethnic British. For instance, Jews particularly like immigration, they particularly like multiculturalism. The reason for that is because if you have lots of different races within a country, the Jews don't stand out as being any different to white people. They are different to whites. They are physically different to us. But it's only a small difference when it's compared to differences, say, between white people and sub-Saharan Negroes. If you were to compare a sub-Saharan Negro to a white Caucasian, and then you were to look at a Semitic Jew, you would say that the Jew looks far more like the white Caucasian than he does look like the sub-Saharan Negro. So this is the basic reason why they like diversity so much, why they like multiculturalism so much. And they're on record as talking about this. Now, we know that possibly the most socially taboo subject you can talk about is to talk negatively about the Jews. And we wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't the truth. It's the same with National Socialism. That is an incredibly socially taboo subject to talk about, there being anything possibly redeemable about National Socialism. We know that that is the most socially taboo thing that there is, that Adolf Hitler is made out to be the devil. And once again, we would not be saying these things if we weren't convinced that they were true. Now, the best book to look at if you are interested in the ways Jews have influenced our society is The Culture of Critique by Dr. Kevin MacDonald. And in that book, he describes the ways that Jews as a group and as individuals have advanced their interests. And he breaks it down into evolutionary psychology, which is basically techniques that groups adapt as they go through the ages, that they adapt various different social techniques of surviving. And what you've got with the Jews, you've got a small minority that is used to living within other people's countries, and ways that they have adapted in order to keep their ethnicity and not get blended out is to encourage this belief in the outsider and the insider for a start. And they've encouraged the breeding just amongst themselves, and they've got a religion which doesn't proselytize, which is basically an ethnic religion. And while promoting that for themselves, for the people that they live among, they promote the idea of everybody is all the same. They encourage people to join the Christian religion by promoting the idea of Christianity as universalism. They're very universalistic people. So this is one way that they subvert the nations that they live among, is they would promote the idea of equality to the people that they live among, and then to their own people they promote the idea of Jews being superior. And this can go back to their religious books. You can look in the Talmud, which talks about anybody who is not Jewish as being no better than an animal, that are just destined to serve the Jews. And people could make a criticism and they could say, well, the Old Testament talks about the Israelites being the chosen people of God. Well, the Old Testament says that if the Israelites obey God, the world will be theirs. And this is transferred over to Christians today. If Christians obey God, the world will be a Christian world. The Jewish Talmud, though, gives instructions on how Jews can take over countries in the world so that the Jews can rule the world. It's not about obeying God and you will be given a reward. The Jewish Talmud tells them ways to deceive the people that they live among. Ways such as the Kol Nidah oath, which they take once a year in a ceremony, which absolves them of having to tell the truth when they make an oath for the rest of the year. So they take this oath, and it's along the lines of let me not be punished for the next year if I break my oath. And because of this, they weren't actually allowed to testify in court. I think it was in Canada up until about 120 years ago, because of this oath that they would take. It also says in the Talmud that it's perfectly fine to deceive non-Jews. You can lie to non-Jews. You can steal from non-Jews. If you find something that belongs to a non-Jew, so long as he doesn't find out that you've got it, you don't have to give it back. All these sorts of things that are in there. So they had this religion which was basically instructing them on how they could take over. And that's all fair and good. You know, that's all fair and well. That's just the way that they are. We just have to face up to that and adapt to that, basically. I don't think we can change them. A religion is an outgrowth of a people group. It reflects the way that the people group are. And of course, this is very good for the Jews, isn't it? It's basically ways that they can improve their living standards, but at the expense of everyone else. And this is the sort of technique that they've come up with. And Kevin MacDonald shows that this is basically evolutionary psychology. They've also came up with cultural Marxism. After the war, they wanted to come out with some way to prevent nationalists taking over again. And they thought, well, nationalism can be traced back to the father in the family and the authority that the father has. So they came out with this book called The Fascist Personality, or something like that. And he was basically attacking the family and saying that the family hierarchy of the father being the authority figure is where fascism comes from. So what we need to do is we need to attack the family which is, of course, what they've done since then and what they've done in the institutions and what the left does. But that's not for the Jews. They don't promote that for the Jews. They promote families sticking together and having lots of children for the Jewish families. And then you've got things such as Freud's psychoanalysis, where what we used to have with the Christian church is that people would go and confess their sins to the priest, and they'd go to a confession, and the priest would say, well, you have to do some penance for that, and we'll ask God for forgiveness. When people would go to the psychoanalyst and they would tell them the bad things that they've done, the psychoanalyst would tell them that actually those things aren't so bad after all, and make excuses for them doing that. So it's a different way around. And you could say, well, these were individuals. Freud was an individual. The people in the Frankfurt School that came up with cultural Marxism, they were individuals. Yes, they were individuals, but what they were doing was of benefit to the Jews as a group, as a whole, and at the same time, at the expense of the peoples that they were living among. It's the same with usury. When you think about usury, which the Jews will say right the way through the Middle Ages, they had no choice. That was all that they could possibly do. They didn't have any trades that they were any good at. All they could do was loan out money to people with interest on top. Plenty of times, monarchs have banned usury and then put in place programs to teach the Jews trades like farming and metalworking, animal husbandry, all sorts of things, carpentry. And the Jews have refused to do it. And it's part of their culture to look down on people that have trades. They have always been middlemen, and they've always been involved in usury. And of course, usury is at the expense of the host nation that they live among. So even though all of this is our fault for inviting the Jews in and giving them civil rights, we still have to look at what Jews have done with those civil rights. And we can now see that they have an inordinate amount of influence in the mainstream media, which they boast about. They boasted a while back that the Jews owned Hollywood. You can look at the heads of the main television studios, and they're all Jews. You can look at the people involved in the BBC and ITV. You can see that Jews are massively overrepresented when you think they only make up 1% of the population. Yet they make up a huge percentage of the producers, the editors, the directors of all these TV programs. And of course, they ensure that nothing negative is ever said about the Jews or implied to Jews acting to further their own group's interests. And this is the reason why all our countries support Israel, why if you have a political party and it wants to get anywhere, then it has to be a member of Friends for Israel. We have the Conservative Friends of Israel. We have Labour Friends of Israel. We don't have Conservative Friends of white people. We have these Jewish advocacy groups like the British Board of Deputies, the British Board of Jewish Deputies, again, which have an inordinate amount of influence on the political parties. They can demand to see the head of the Labour Party, and they can give the head of the Labour Party a list of demands that must be fulfilled, and the Labour Party will jump and carry out those demands, because the Jews do have this inordinate amount of influence. And again, that is just them advancing their interests. Every racial group will advance its interests. But as white people, we don't seem to do the same. We don't advance our interests. We have fallen for this idea that everybody is all the same and we need to be advocating for everybody else's interests rather than advocating for our own interests. And of course, this benefits the Jews, but it doesn't benefit us. And if people were to be made aware of this, then they might be more keen to advocate for white people's interests, and they might be able to see through these programs trying to encourage refugees to come into our country. They might be able to see through the push to legalize gay marriage and promote homosexuality to children, which again is another thing that Jews have boasted about. In America, the Jews boasted that there wouldn't even be such a thing as gay marriage if it wasn't for Jews. And of course, when we point that out, we're accused of anti-Semitism. When the Jews point it out, then that's perfectly fine. They're bragging about it. But if you don't think it's a good thing, then it's supposedly anti-Semitism. I'm not against the Jews. I see the Jews as being different to us and having different ways of promoting their group's interests. And we, as whites, we don't promote our group interests. And it's mainly because we've been encouraged not to by Jews. And a lot of the time they have used these other races to help them in this quest. If you look back at the civil rights movement in America, which was pushing for black interests, the people that were actually behind the scenes running these movements were Jews. And the black blacks complained about this at some point in the 70s. But right the way from 1900 up until the 1970s, it was all Jews that were behind these advocacy groups for the blacks, because it was of benefit to Jews, basically, to have civil rights for blacks. And we can see the same in South Africa with Joe Shlomo, who was supporting and encouraging. He was a mastermind, basically, behind the African National Congress. And then we can look at communism. We can look at Bolshevism, which destroyed half of Europe and destroyed Russia. And we can see that the communist movement had masses and masses of Jews that were involved in the top echelons of it. We can look at Ingrid Jagoda, the head of the NKVD. We can look at Marx. We can look at Lenin. We can look at Trotsky. They're all Jews. Something like 90% of the Bolsheviki, the heads of the Bolsheviks that took over, something like 90% of them were Jews. And the Gentiles that were involved in communism in the top echelons, they all had Jewish wives, people like Stalin, for instance, who there is a lot of evidence to show that Stalin himself was Jewish. But even if you don't take that evidence as being concrete, he had Jewish wives and Jewish mistresses. And when the communists took over, they destroyed the churches. They killed the priests. And of course, they say communism was an atheist movement. So what the Jews will say today is they will say, well, the Jews that were involved in communism, they weren't real Jews because they weren't religious Jews. But it doesn't matter what religion a Jew follows. He's still a Jew. You don't say that an atheist Jew is not a Jew because he's not following the Talmud. The majority of the Jews in Israel wouldn't class themselves as being Orthodox Jews or particularly following the Talmud, but they still have the racial traits of a Jew. I mean, all the different races have certain different traits, and they have all evolved different ways of adapting to the world and furthering their group's interests. And we as white people don't do that anymore because these other groups have subverted our instincts, basically, which it is quite clearly possible to do when if you control the media and you have influence on the politicians and you hold the purse strings to the grants for the scientists that are going to use the studies. So these are some of the subjects that are covered in Kevin MacDonald's book, Culture of Critique. And anybody who is interested in it, that is one book that they should read. There's another book as well by Dr. E. Michael Jones, and that is called The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit and Its Impact on World History. And in this book, Dr. Jones goes right back to the time of Christ, and he says, because the Jews rejected Christ, and Christ was the Logos, reason, basically the rationale that we see behind everything in the natural order, that's all linked in with Logos. Because the Jews rejected Christ, they also rejected the natural order. So they became the agents of chaos, and they fermented revolutions, and anything that was against the natural order, they would promote. because they had set themselves up in rejecting Christ, rejecting Logos, rejecting order, and embracing chaos instead, basically, and becoming... Christ talks about the yeast of the Pharisees, and it's basically a Jewish yeast that rises these revolutionary movements and encourages these revolutionary movements within countries. And E. Michael Jones traces them back to various revolutions, and he looks at the history of the Jews in Poland and how they took over. Basically took everything over by being middlemen, and how they would buy the crops and they would loan the farmers money to basically buy vodka that they had made from the crops, and their farmers would get into debt, and the Jews would eventually end up owning these farms and owning these farmers. And by the time you get to about the 1800s, Jews are right at the top of society, and all the Poles are doing all the work. And he also then looks at the way that they have promoted pornography and degeneracy. And if you wonder why the movie industry is the way that it is, it's because Jews have continually chipped away at the moral standards that Americans had. And they did that by using the excuse of it being free speech, that it's a free speech issue to show nudity, rather than it being an attack on the morals of the nation. And of course, it started off with just being in X-rated films, and then they slipped in nudity into Schindler's List, which was then shown to children. And they've gradually always been pushing the envelope, and they brag about the fact that they're pushing the envelope. They brag about it all the time. So this, I'm not saying something that's hidden information. It's just the way that you view it. That's the difference. Whether you view it as being a good thing that there is soft porn in just about every television program now, and it means that men are distracted all the time, whether you think that's a good thing or whether you think that is a bad thing. Personally, I think that is a bad thing. And once again, that is to the benefit of Jews, because it means that the men, as I just said, will be distracted all the time. They won't be able to concentrate. Men see a scantily clad female and they can't control their thoughts, basically. It's to do with our testosterone, and that gets manipulated by them. Because the weaker the people are that they live among, the stronger they are going to be, and the easier it is for them to advocate for their interests. I mean, it's basically just nature, isn't it? It's the survival of the fittest, and this goes on with groups as well as it goes on with individuals. And they are a small group that doesn't really have physical power. If you think you've got a group that only makes up 1% of a country, they need to be doing something in order to get some power and to advocate for themselves. They can't actually use their physical weight of numbers, so they have to use something else instead. And again, this goes into more of the Kevin MacDonald explanation for their behavior rather than the E. Michael Jones explanation for their behavior. But we do have to look at it and the way that it affects society and the way that it affects us. And of course, they don't want people to be looking at it. They don't want people to be recognizing the patterns of behavior. And so they claim that it's anti-Semitism, that it's somehow the people that are doing this, they just inexplicably hate Jews. And that, again, that just cannot be true. The Jews have been ejected from 109 different countries in Europe over the last 2,000 years. There's nobody else that's been ejected from countries. And it's always been for the same behavior. It's always been for the subversion of society. And this is why the church originally made laws. They said, well, the Jews can live among us. They show as an example of how not to be, basically. And they said that the Jews can have their separate areas, and the Jews can obey their separate laws, but they have to be kept separate from the Christians. And we have to make laws to say that they can't own Christians, We have to make laws to say that they can't take part in civil society, because if they are allowed to, they will advocate for their own interests at the expense of the Christians. And this actually kept them from being able to do that much harm, really. Right the way up until the French Revolution, and then we had the French Revolution, and they were given civil rights, they were given equal rights with everybody else. And if you've got a group that networks together and is taught to network together and to work only for its own interests, and you then give them equal rights with a people that are told that we need to be advocating for everybody's interests, then quite clearly they are going to rise to the top. And you can't blame them for doing that. That is just the way that they are. What we have to do is accept that and talk about that and recognize the reason for why they are advocating for more immigrants to come into the country. The reason why they are advocating for the removal of Christianity from any influence on the state, why they're removing prayers from schools, why they're removing nativity plays. We have to recognize why they are pushing for homosexuality to be seen as equal as heterosexuality, why they are pushing for transgenderism. Because if you don't understand the Jewish connection, you look at it all and it's very confusing. And you think, well, why would a people choose to do this to itself? Why would the right race choose to commit suicide by importing all these non-whites into the country? It doesn't make any sense. It does make sense when you realize that doing that is to the advantage of this other group that we have that lives in our society. It doesn't mean that you hate this other group to be talking about it. What it means is that you recognize this, you recognize the fact that they are acting in their own interests, and you think, well, something needs to be done about it. And personally, I think the fact that they have their own country now in Israel, I think that's a good thing. And I would like to see them encouraged to move there. But they don't move there because they know that they are in a good position in our countries. They are in a good position to make money from usury. They've got laws to protect them from being criticized. So they're in this exalted position. And the only reason why they're in that exalted position is because we put them there. So the only way that this can be put right is by our people finding out about this. And as I say, the very fact that it is so taboo to be talking about this, and yet we are talking about it, proves basically that there must be very, very strong evidence for what we are saying. Otherwise, we wouldn't risk social ostracization. We wouldn't risk being accused of being haters. We wouldn't risk charges against us for race hate or whatever. People wouldn't risk that unless they were convinced that what we were talking about is the truth. And it's based on simple pattern recognition. It's based on a scientific way of looking at it through Kevin MacDonald. It's based on a religious way of looking at it through E. Michael Jones. And it's based on pattern recognition of what we see and recognizing people when they are Jews. Once you get to know what their surnames are, then that's when you start to see the overrepresentation of them on the television set. Once you get to know what they look like, then you get to be able to spot the people that are Jewish, because a lot of them have taken on different names so that they can pretend to be part of the nation that they live among. And they're called crypto Jews or Murano Jews. And that goes back to Jews thinking that it would benefit them if they were to pretend to be Christian, which is why we had the Inquisition. The Catholic Church ended up having to have an Inquisition to find out whether these Jews that had converted to become Christian, whether they were still following Judaism and they were just pretend Christians. And it's the same today when you have people that pretend to be Gentiles. And in actual fact, they're actually Jews. They've just taken on a Gentile name, and they've done that because they don't want the Gentiles to realize that they are Jewish. And that's what you get with Lenin. He was Lev Bronstein was his name. You can actually look back through the last century and you'll find that there are lots and lots of Jews that have taken on these Gentile names where they're just trying to cover up the fact that they're Jewish. So these are just some of the reasons why it is important to talk about Jews, and civic nationalists will say, ah, yes, but the main problems that we have is with the Muslims, and it's with grooming gangs, and it's with black on white crime, and we don't see Jews that are getting involved in that. Yes, but it was Jews that advocated for these people to come into our countries. When you look at an organization like Tel Mama, which promotes the idea that criticism of Muslims is Islamophobia, they are being advised by a rabbi. And there is a Jew that is involved in that organization. This is why I say all these attempts to silence people, criticizing non-whites, they're all influenced by Jews. They all have Jewish advisors and Jewish backers for these organizations. And Syriac nationalists might say, well, we're against immigration. And you say, well, yes, but it's mainly Jews advocating for that. The Lord Dubs, for instance, who has pushed through bills in Parliament to get Britain to accept anybody that claims to be under the age of 18 from anywhere in the world as a refugee, he's a Jew. And he says that the reason why he's done that is because he was a refugee when he was a child. Yes, but his loyalty should then be to the country that took him in. It shouldn't be to various other refugees from all over the place. His loyalty should be to Britain. He should be saying, it could be very dangerous allowing these people in because they might not be under the age of 18. You don't know anything about them. But he's not saying that. He's claiming his loyalty is to the refugee children. But really, his loyalty is to Jews because it's of benefit to Jews to have these other races here in our country because it weakens us and it strengthens them. That's what it boils down to. And the final point maybe that civic nationalists would bring up, they would say, well, what about Israel? And the Muslims don't like Israel. Well, that's a very, very recent issue, just over a bit of land in Palestine. If we actually look back over the last 1500 years, we see that when Muslims take over an area like Spain or Bulgaria, they put Jews in all the top positions. And if you look at what the Quran says about the Jews, it says that they worship just one God, and it's the same God as the Muslims. And if you look in the Talmud, it says that the Jews worship one God, but they say that the Christians worship three, and the Christians are idolaters. And the Jews' Noahide laws say that Christians should be executed for their idolatry. And if you look at the Quran and what the Muslims teach, they teach that because Christians worship a trinity, again, that is idolatry. That's why ISIS were attacking Christians. And we see that when the slave trade was going, it was Muslims and Jews that were involved in that, and they were working together on that. It's just a recent blip, the fact that the Jews have taken over Palestine and these Palestinians have had to move out, and the Palestinians are Muslim. And in actual fact, if you look at Saudi Arabia and Turkey, they're very supportive of Israel. It's only the Shiite Muslims in Iran that are opposed to Israel. When we look at the way that Jews and Muslims work together in our countries to advance the interests of Jews and Muslims, we see that they work together, and as I say, that's the same as goes back centuries. Jews and Muslims have worked together, and of course they are Semitic brothers, aren't they? They're both non-white races, both of them calling each other Semites. They are brother races. They're not white, and they are going to advocate for their interests at the expense of ours. That's what it all boils down to. There's no great mystery to it. There's nothing about hating people. I mean, you would look at the way that in the animal world, you would see that foxes advance the interests of foxes. Bears advance the interests of bears. Sheep advance the interests of sheep. It doesn't mean that you hate these animals, it means that you accept that they are going to do what comes natural to them, and it does come natural to them. You can't really place value judgments on it. And you can't really place value judgments on the way that these different races behave. They're behaving in their best interests. It's white people that are not behaving in our best interests, and that's what we need to do something about. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.